Okay. We'll start Simon Shin Chav Beis, Hilchos HaFarsha Chala. Let me read the first three dinim, and then we'll have some things to say about it. Okay, the first din is, Mitzvah Asay, Lahafish Truma Meha Isa, V'litin Olkain. It's Mitzvah Asay to take Truma out of every batter, and give it to a Kain, Shenemar, Rashi Saras Yosechem, Tarimu Truma, from the first of your batters you should give Truma. For Rashi said, and this Rashi, Ein L'Shim Natar, Midderaisa, there's no amount that you have to give. And I see with Hifish Kisaira Potter says, even if you take the tiniest amount, like a piece of barley, it's like the smallest you can imagine, you pot, it's good. But for Isaac Kolis Hasikhala, what else to call? But if you mafish everything, I mean, there's no minimum, but there is a maximum. If you mafish everything, what else to call? There's no, that doesn't, it's not a good hafrasha. Actually, Shari Mitzas until you leave over a certain amount. And Mitzvah Hashem, the Ramah is going to mention that again in Shin Chav Gimbal, we'll talk about it there, that this plot about what, that you have to leave over a certain amount. Okay, and we did research from Midrabanan. So Midrabanan, you can give the tiniest amount. Midrabanan, Mafrishin Echad Mechavtaal Min Ha'isa. You're supposed to, Midrabanan, you're supposed to give 1/24th of each batter. Vahanachtoim, and a baker, Ha'isa Limka B'Shuk, who's selling to the public, Mafrish Echad Min Memches, he has a lower share, he has only a 48th. I mean, half as much as a Baal Bayis. We'll learn more about that in the later halachas, not for today. The nitma ha'isa b'shagir yubayinus. If the isa became tamei, either by mistake or totally by bayinus, so that means is the kain is not going to be able to eat it anyhow. So then, af Baal Bayis mafresh echad mimches. Then the chacham said, why bother make you be mafresh 1/24th? And it's all going to go be to the garbage. It all has to be burnt. So instead, even a Baal Bayis gets away with 1/24th. Okay, those shiurim, the 24th and the 48th, Mitzvah Hashem will be for next time. What that means. So that's going to be in the later halacha more clearly. Okay? So the first thing said that you have to be mafresh challah. Okay? And you can give even a tiny amount. Halacha base. Ein chayav mechal min atar el be'eretz Yisrael b'vad. Really, the din is you only chayav mit the raisa to be mafresh challah in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, v'hoyo ba'chocha milechem ha'aretz. It says in the Torah you should be mafresh it when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, even though you might think that it's a mitzvah to leave Eretz, it's really not a mitzvah to leave Eretz. It has nothing to do with the ground. We're going to find out in later halacha. It has nothing to do with the ground. It doesn't depend on being produce of Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. But the din is it's only chayiv in Eretz Yisrael for a different reason. Because it says, it's only chayiv in Eretz Yisrael. It's not like Truma. Truma doesn't have a pasuk that's chayiv in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to leave Eretz. Mitzvah to leave Eretz is only in Eretz Yisrael. Chal is different than that. It's really not a mitzvah to leave Eretz, but midrash it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the second condition is, u'bizman shekol Yisrael sham, the second condition is that it only applies when all the Yidden live in Eretz Yisrael, shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, b'voyachem, it says when you'll come into Eretz Yisrael, and that means is, the Gemara Darshan is, b'yas kulchem, b'loy b'yas mutzaschem, you have to all come into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, l'fika chala bizman hazeh, chala nowadays, and that doesn't only mean nowadays, in the days of Shulchan Aruch, and I feel b'mei Ezra, to me, Eretz Yisrael, even during times of the second base of Mikdash, when there were lots of Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, but there weren't, all the Yidden weren't there, even they were there in El Midrashim, even in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah is only a drabanan, because Midrashim, it's only when all the Yidden are there, and that didn't even happen during the second base of Mikdash, and therefore it's only a drabanan. And Halacha Gimel is, Afrish Nechal B'chutz Laretz, Midrashim Serfim, Midrabanan, Rimafrish Chal, even the Chutz Laretz. I mean, even in Eretz Yisrael, it could be a Teraisa. It's Lamaisa today, it's a Drabanan. But in Chutz Laretz, it's always a Drabanan. Kidei Shli Tishtakach Teres Chalas Mizrael. So people shouldn't forget how to be Mafresh Chala. We'll hear more about that in the future. But there's in the next sermon, really. But mid Drabanan, we have a mitzvah of Hafresh Chala, even Chutz Laretz. And we'll talk about that in later sermon. We're going to talk about what's special about Chutz Laretz. Because it's a lower Drabanan, some special coolers have to do that. Okay, so I just want to start by saying like this: the Mishnah says that mitzvah Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah that's so connected to being in a Jewish house that it's one of the three mitzvahs that are specific to women. Okay, it's women, the people who run the home have that specific mitzvah, and most people think of Hafresh Chala like that. That's what we do. And of course, while we do these dinim, we're going to talk about the Hafresh Chala and all the parts of it that have to do with how you do it in your house also. Okay? But we look at things from a different angle. We think about it more from the commercial side of it. So we're going to put more emphasis or point out things that have to do with Hafresh Chala in a local bakery, in a commercial bakery, will have more interest in that than dafka what goes on in a personal home. Okay. So in that vein of talking about what goes on in a commercial bakery, I wanted to introduce to you that there are four ways that people are mafresh challah that I'm aware of in commercial bakery. What they deal with hafresh challah in commercial bakeries. Okay, well, when I say commercial, I mean it's not in your house. I mean like a local bakery, a big, huge commercial bakery. Like that kind of a bakery, or a bigger bakery that's making pizza or something like that. All kinds of things like that. Okay, so I've come up with four different ways that they do. Okay? The first one is, I'm sorry, I have one more thing to tell you before I get to these four ways. I'm sorry. Okay, we're gonna keep using the word challah, okay, which is what most people call this mitzvah. Most people in Mamish in today's day and age, when they think of the word challah, they think of the bread you eat on Shabbos. Okay, they think that's what they call it. They think of that as challah. And we're gonna find out, surprisingly, in Simon Shin Chav Ches. It's going to be a whole shayla exactly what the word challah really means. Okay, and it has a nafkamin lamaisa what that word the word challah means. We're going to say I was going to talk about it today, but I realized I was going to save it to Shin Chav Ches. Okay, we're going to talk about it there. What does the word really mean? Okay, nowadays we for sure don't mean that. Nowadays people think it's the braided bread that you eat on Shabbos, and that's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're going to use
challah because
we'll talk about it when we get to Shin Chav Ches.
He said the whole bracha challah
he says strange. We're going to see that's in Shin Chav Ches. Shin Chav Ches is what the bracha is. That's why we're going to talk about it. We get to Shin Chav Ches and talk about what the bracha is. Okay? So we're going to talk about it. Just be patient. I'm just saying it's to tell you that I'm going to use the word challah the way in these, it's called Hilchas Challah. It says on top of the page, Hilchas Challah. That's how we're going to use it to do these halachas have to do with Hilchas Challah, even though that word may not be perfectly accurate. Okay, we'll see. We'll get to Shin Chav Ches. Okay, so back to where we were. So there's four ways that people are mafresh challah. Okay? The first one is the traditional way. Okay, there's someone who's Shomer Shabbos, who's there in the bakery, and every time they make a batter of dough, he pulls out a piece, and he's mafresh challah, okay, like you do it in your house. Okay, every time they make a dough, there's someone there who takes care of it, he pulls a piece over, and he's mafresh challah. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. That's like doing it in your house. The next is what I call the dough ball method, okay, and that is that in the middle of the night, there's no one Shomer Shabbos there. The baker...
If he's pulling dough multiple times during the day, does he make a bracha each time? Or just
we'll get to that. Not for now. I'm just talking about how they do it.
That's awesome.
Yes. Probably general clubs. I don't know. Okay. The next is, in the middle, most bakers, like as in like a retail bakery, like North Shore Bakery, North Shore Bakery, they work... North Shore Bakery works during the night. That's what they do their preparation during the night. In most of these places, there's no Shomer Shabbos there during the night. So what they do is, the people who are working there during the night, every time they make a batter of dough, they take off a piece, and they put it on the side for the rabbi. Okay, they put it aside. So if overnight they make 14 batters, in the morning when the rabbi or the Shomer Shabbos comes, there are 14 balls of dough that they made during the night, and they do the hafrasha using those 14 balls of dough. Okay?
In the morning?
In the morning.
When the
I didn't. I'm not talking about what it is. I'm just telling you how it's done. Each one of these, we're going to talk about
it.
Each one in the right time. We're going to talk about it. I'm just telling you the four different ways that it's happening. Okay. I'm just trying to. I'll tell you in a second why I tell you these. Okay, four things. The third one is, which many of you are aware of. These first two that I told you are more commonly done in like a retail bakery, like North Shore Bakery. Okay, that style of bakery. Okay. The third one is to use tevel. What do I mean that they use tevel? Someone takes either matzah or batter. They make a thing that's chayiv in hafresh challah, enough dough that's chayiv in hafresh challah, and they're not mafresh challah from it. They leave it as tevel. And what do they do with it? Then they leave that tevel in the bakery where they need to do hafresh challah. There's a bakery located 500 miles away from any from person. They leave this tevel sitting there. And then, every day, somebody remotely is mafresh challah. He says, you know that batter that I left there in the freezer, or the matzah that's sitting there on the counter? Today, for every batter that they make, I want another little piece to be challah for that batter that was made. So today they made 26 batters, I have 26 little pieces from that tevel are now challah for the 26 batters that I made on that day. Okay? It's done remotely.
In the future.
We'll talk about that also, when it goes to the past
26.
Okay, we talk about that when they're getting into details. The point is that it's done remotely, but done by somebody who doesn't really have a connection to what's going on, but he has the tevel sitting there, he has his tevel sitting there, waiting to do hafrasha when when it's supposed to happen. He does it remotely. He wakes up in the morning, he dabbles through some nusach that he's supposed to say, and then he did the hafrosh. Okay? Yes, that's the third way. The fourth way is that there are some places that what they do is, in order to deal with the halachas of a fresh chala, they make it that the only person who's chayav chala is if a yid owns the batter when it's turned into a batter. They sell the batter, they sell the flour before it's made into a batter. So at the time when it's chayav in a fresh chala, it's not owned by a yid, and therefore there's no chayav a fresh chala. A versus chala depends on who owned it at the time when you mixed the flour and the water together. At that point, when they mixed the flour and water, it was owned by a guy. No chiva versus chala. So they haven't really been machar chala, but they avoided the chiva versus chala because it wasn't owned by yid. They got around to it. Okay. So there are four ways of dealing with a versus chala. Just like, you know, there are packages that say, you know, we follow the versus chala. You know, it's a... There's a company that has a very traditional history of being owned by Jews. Okay, but it's owned by Goyim now. So on the box it says, we follow the halachas of Chala, because they're not Mafresh Chala anymore, because they're owned by Goyim. But it sounds Jewish to say, we follow the halachas of Chala. We don't say Hufresh Chala Kedin anymore, because it's still, they're not Mafresh Chala. We deal with Hufresh Chala in these four ways. Okay, so now, of these four ways, the one about how you do it in the traditional way, of course we can talk about, it's going to come up in different ways. About this thing about dough balls, or Mirtza Shembi and Simon Shinchav Gimel, that's the main place we're going to talk about it. This thing about Tevel is going to be all over the place. Okay, it's come out every single simon. There are going to be parts of that idea to use tevel. It's going to come up like all over the place. It's going to keep calling up, cropping up of shilas that there are or issues that there are with how to deal that about that tevel. And then the eitzah of selling it to a guy is going to be at the way end shin lamed, if I got it right. It's going to be that dinim about if it's right and how to deal with that selling it to a guy. Okay, so I just want to tell you these four ways to do it because they're going to keep coming up. In particular, this idea to use tevel, to have tevel sitting there, it's a modern creation that people do that and that we do it the way we do it. And that's going to keep coming up. It's got lots of issues to it. Okay. Okay. Now let's go on to something more, something else. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says, the very first words are, mitzvah lahafresh truma me'isa v'litna l'kayim. So the mitzvah say to do these things. The Shulchan Aruch is copying the Rambam, who says that there's one mitzvah be hafrosh chala, and the mitzvah is to be mafrosh chala and give it to the kohen. Okay, that whole as a unit is one mitzvah. Okay? The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah says no, that's not one mitzvah. He says that's two different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to be mafrosh chala, and there's one mitzvah to give it to the kohen. Which is just two different things. The Ramban has a few rayas. Okay, three of the rayas I'll tell you two, which are three, are the rayas like this. He says first of all, he says we make a bracha on hafrosh chala. Well, the rule is, you only make a bracha if you're going to be doing a complete mitzvah. So, if the mitzvah is to do the hafrasha and give it to the kohen, and the end of the mitzvah is and give it to the kohen, that's the end. Since you're not holding by giving it to the kohen now, you shouldn't make the bracha at that point. You would only make the bracha when you're ready to finish the mitzvah. Okay? And the fact that we make the bracha at the beginning, which is tisefta, okay? It's a tisefta that says that. So, that we do it even at the beginning, tells us that there's a mitzvah even to do the hafrasha. Second, which is two versions of it, which is a person is mafresh chala even if he's not going to be giving it to a kohen. Like let's say the stuff is very tummy, so you're not going to give it to a kohen. Or let's say the person himself is a kohen. Okay, he's not going to give it to anybody. Even so, the person is mechuyev to mafresh chala. So you see that it's not one more mitzvah, which is be mafresh chala and give it to a kohen. Because even when there's no and give it to a kohen, you still have a mitzvah to do it anyhow. And those are based on tomorrow's.
Kohen always has to.
But it has to be mafresh chala.
That's always the case.
That's the din. Yes, it's a free. Based on the positive. Even a kohen has to be mafresh. So why would a kohen? If the din is, if the mitzvah is be mafresh and give it to a kohen, and I'm never going to do the end part of it. I don't do that end part of it. So the fact that you have to be mafresh anyhow tells us that the hafresh itself is a mitzvah.
You know what I'm saying about other matnas kuna also that the mitzvah includes the giving to the kohen.
That's the same question. Same shaila about that.
Well,
same.
Don't
affect
it's only by Tum
Chalim. By Tum
Chalim. So then Chalim okay with the Lamaisa. Okay, now. But then why
Tum don't give it to the Kohen? Not that you don't give it to the Kohen, but your Lamaisa is not going to give it to the Kohen. Because he can burn it and have enough from it.
Yeah.
I guess you could answer that for that one case. You could say you're going to Lamaisa give it to the Kohen. And Norman says, I don't say you're not going to give it to Lamaisa, you're not giving it to the Kohen. You're just going to burn it. Okay, like we talk about, we're going to come and lay the dinner, you just burn it. You burn it. So you're never going to do the actual Nesina to a Kohen. So then it must not be part of the mitzvah. You know, it must be that the mitzvah is even without that. Okay, so There's a few answers are given, a few ways to explain what drama means. Rabbi Simen brings that, so it's Sefer Kinesetrim, it's in Sefer Mitzvahs, who says that, it says in the Pasuk, you should, the Pasuk says, Titnu l'Hashem Tshuma, okay, when it says describing Chala, you should give it to Hashem. So the way they understand it is like this. The mitzvah of Hafashas Chala is for a person to take this piece off, and it's sort of instant, when he takes it off, he's giving it to Hashem. That's what his mitzvah is, to give it to the Baruch Shalom. Now, the ma'isa is, the Baruch Shalom designates that the Kohen is Mishulchan Gavoy Kazachi, the Kohen are the ones who are supposed to eat that food that belongs to the Baruch Shalom. So, now I'm a shomer on someone's food. I separated the food and gave it to the Baruch Shalom. That's the mitzvah. Okay. Now, once I got the food, so really the mitzvah really should read is mitzvah lahafresh chumah me'isa velitna l'Hashem. But I don't really give it to Hashem. Hashem says to me, what you should do is, the guy who's allowed to eat it as a kohen, and this is what I'm supposed to, so as a shomer, I happen to be that I have the kohen stuff, so I find the kohen and I hand it to him. In fact, the din is, if it's very hard to give it to the kohen, you're not mechayev to. Okay, you just keep it. Okay, but the lichal kohen is, to give it to the kohen is not that the mitzvah is, that's part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only to do the hafrasha, and the hafrasha is to give it to the brunchum. In Mamela, it works out that you give it to a kohen also. Okay, so if you would read it, if you read it in the, it reads well into the Rambam and into the Yad HaChazaka, where he says, mitzvah say laharfish chum min ha-kohen, min ha-isa l'kohen. Okay, your mafish it l'kohen, meaning it's for Hashem. And the person, that's what he learns, that it's like Mamun Gavoyah.
It's like Mamun
Gavoyah. It's, you're supposed to hand it off to the Baruch Shalom. What's Hashem going to do with it?
So
So that's what he says. That's what Kinesarim says. That, no, it's not true. You think of it like that. You think that it's like Meister that belongs to, you give it to the lady and it's like his thing. It's like prior property. He says, no, that's not what Pshat is. That Pshat is that it's really, it's Kachim. Here's Meister. I'm not giving you a
Meister.
I don't remember. I don't know. You probably can, but I don't know. Okay, I think you can also. Okay, I don't know. So this is one child that he wants to say is that really, basically, according to this, everyone's going to be agreeing that the mitzvah is just to do the hafrasha. Okay, and according to this, even Rama's going to agree the mitzvah is to give to the kohen. The mitzvah is just to do the hafrasha. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's not so great. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is like what says in Shulchan Aruch, that the mitzvah is lahafrid v'litna l'kohen. Why? Tell me v'litna l'kohen. V'litna l'kohen is a little too much, that extra v'litna. Because that's not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is lahafresh chumah me'isa. Or you say like this, Rambam says it, lahafresh me'isa l'kohen, like sort of with that, heading in that direction. But the giving it to the kohen is almost a technicality. It's a chosh mishpatin. I have the guy's stuff, I might as well hand it to him. Okay, so that doesn't read as great. Okay. There's another shiloh that's related to this, sort of related to this, also from Rabbi Simon, and that is like this. What happens, are you mechoyev to do hafrashas chala if you're not planning on eating this batter? I made dough, and I'm not going to be eating it. I'm no interest in eating this thing. Isn't there a mitzvah be'etzem to be marfish? That's my mitzvah to be marfish, the challah? But say, no, there's no mitzvah to be marfish challah. If you want to eat it, you need, in order to be matir your food, to make it not terrible, you need to be marfish it. But if you don't want to eat it, so don't be marfish it. Okay? So, it's a machlokes. The Taz, in Simon Aleph of Yerodea, the Taz says that it's a completely independent mitzvah. The mitzvah has nothing to do, even if you're not planning on eating, you're mechuyev to do the hafrasha. It makes no difference if you're going to eat it or you're not going to eat it. You have the mitzvah of hafrasha. It's like putting on tefillin in the morning. What is it? Putting on tefillin in the morning. Mechuyev to put on tefillin. What is it? Doesn't depend on. You know, like, if you want to go to work, you have to put on tefillin. You have to put on tefillin every day. Doesn't make a difference. So you're mechuyev to be mafresh. You made a bad, you have to be mafresh challah. That's what the Taz says. There's a pesach tshuva in Simon Shin Chav Ches a little bit about that. It's not exactly the right case. He says, is what happens if a person made a batter of dough? And he realized afterwards that it's full of bugs. So he's not going to eat it anyhow. Okay, the guy's not going to eat it. He talks about whether the guy's mechuyev to be mafresh challah. Okay, it's not exactly the same time. Okay, so this ties is along the lines of what we were saying before, that there might be a chiyuv hafrasha even if it's not going to, but the mitzvah hafrasha is an independent mitzvah. And Rabbi Kveger over there in Yerodea says, I don't know who told you that such a thing. He says, it's just to be mafresh the tevel. If you want to eat it, you have to do this in order to eat it. If you don't want to eat it, so don't be mafresh it. Who cares? And he says, if you look in Aruch Chaim, the beginning of Aruch Chaim, not Simchal, but Simon Ches, the beginning of Rechaim, the Magen Avraham says that. He says Hafrashas Chala is like Shechita. You want to eat an animal, you have to shecht it. You don't have a mitzvah to go shecht animals. You don't just go walk around all just shechting animals, because it's not a mitzvah to shecht an animal. If you're hungry, then you shecht the animal. If you don't want to eat the meat, you don't have to shecht it. And the Magen Avraham says the same thing for Hafrashas Chala. You know, if you want to eat the batter, you have to be Hafrashas Chala. You don't want to eat the batter, don't be Hafrashas Chala. Okay? Now, what I just said to you is, Rav Chaya says that. That's how we understand the Magen Avraham. I'm going to tell you in a second, a grow like that also. Prima Gordon does not understand the Magen Avraham like that. Okay, if you look at the Prima Gordon, over there in Aruch Chaim, does not understand that the Magen Avraham is saying that. He's not talking about the Shiloh. Prima Gordon understands that if the Magen Avraham is really talking about whether you have to stand up for the mitzvah. Okay, and he just says, the way the Prima Gordon learns, it's just a little more like this. It's a different track. But we'll continue with this. The grow says, on the Magen Avraham, he says, really? He says, it's not a mitzvah to do it, to be mafashit. He says, I don't understand. He says, the Yerushalmi says, it's actually going to be a din later on, the Yerushalmi says, that if a person is not allowed to make a batter that's less than a shir challah in order to get out of the mitzvah. There's a certain amount that you have to make a batter to be chayav and challah. You can't purposely make a batter that's too small to get away from the mitzvah. He says, why not? Why shouldn't I get away from the mitzvah? Who cares? If the mitzvah is just when it's telling you want to eat, you have to do it. There's no mitzvah of harfrasha. It's just like a way to be mocked to yourself. So why not? Why shouldn't I make a batter that's less than the amount and not be mechuyvim? What's the problem with it? Okay, so he's understanding it. He's understanding Yerushalmi to be a din rather than like a hashkafa point of don't avoid mitzvahs. He says if it wouldn't be a mitzvah, then if it wouldn't be a mitzvah, there would be no problem making a batter that's small. So the Grah thinks that the Taz, I don't remember if he quotes the Taz, but he thinks what the Taz says is more correct, that being mafresh challah, the etzem is a mitzvah for the person to be mafresh challah. It has nothing to do with whether you want to eat it or not. It's a mitzvah mafresh challah. Okay. I'll throw into here, just as an aside, it's sort of an aside. Rabbi Cement wants to say a different something else. He's not saying this and this, he's saying this in Rashi, that Kenzai, for challah there's a mitzvah, and for truma there's not a mitzvah. That shot that he wants to say, maybe for Chuma you're not mechuyav to mafreshit unless you want to eat it, and Chala you are. It's that thing that I just said to you is not like this Taz, or the Magen Avraham, or a Kvayger. Okay, so it's not like any of these people. Anyhow, that's what, if you want to look at it. Okay, one last angle of this same Shiloh, or this part of an issue, is there's Nevi Yehuda, and Nevi Yehuda says, he says, I want to tell you, a Dover Chodosh, like had Muni Bezed Shum Mefarish Bepoisek. I want to tell you something that no one ever thought of before now. Okay, so already that makes you a little, you know, nervous, you know, as he understands that. He said, I'm going to tell you something that no one ever told you beforehand. In fact, we're going to see the Rosh Hashanah who say like him, but he says, if no one ever said this before me, this is news, okay? And that is like this. When we read the Shulchan Aruch, I told you that the Shulchan Aruch says, the din is, you can be mavrish even the tiniest amount. Mid the rice, you can give even the tiniest amount. And then he says, no. He says, there are really two mitzvahs. Remember I told you before, there's maybe two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, and the mitzvah of giving that piece to the Kohen. There's two different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, no matter what, even a tiny amount works. Doesn't make a difference. Mid-Raisa, Mid-Rabbanan, it doesn't make a difference. It always, because Ari works it. For the second mitzvah, giving to the Kohen, that's when Mid-Raisa, there's a certain shear. He's not sure what the shear is. There's a shear. It says you have to give Titnu. You have to give it to the Kohen. You have to give him something that's royal in the Sina. I think it's a Sefri he brings it from. That you have to give something that's royal for the Sina. That amount is a Shut and Shir Midrash. And Midrash Bonah has a share of a 24th or 48th or whatever the share is. He says, but Midrash, even Midrash Bonah, there's no share to be matched to the Tevil. To be matched for the first thing, which is to be mafresh and matched from the Tevil, there's no share for that. Midrash Bonah, the Bonah only goes on the second if you give it to the Kohen. Okay, and Kenzain, that's going to be a Hezber in a Ramah we're going to see later on, maybe. Lamaisa is, Chaim Kineski brings it, and he says, there are attacking Rishonim who say like this, but come on, everybody disagrees, and everybody says that the din deraisa is, you're yotze everything with a mashahu, even with a sa'ira. Even the nesina to the kohen, you're yotze with a deraisa like that, and that at the rabbanon, you're going to do both halves, there's a certain shit that you have to give. Okay? But this, that the Yudu wants to say, that mid deraisa, the nesina has to have a certain amount to it, he says, come on, nobody holds it down. Okay. The last thing I want to tell you is the Halacha Bey said that in Eretz Yisrael, even Bimei Ezra, they weren't chayiv in Hafrashas Chala because they didn't have Midrash, they were not chayiv because the Pasuk says Bavoyachem, the B.S. Kulchem, that all you didn't have to come. Now, you probably would have guessed that Kulchem doesn't mean every single person. It means his roiv of the Yidden have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Kulchem, the word kol, doesn't mean every single person. It doesn't mean if there's one guy on vacation, we're not mechayim chal. It means if roiv of the people are there. Okay? Another part of that is that, if you remember, when we learned in Hilchos Shemitah, when we learned that, we learned that, this is the same, we're connecting, you know, from the last thing to this one. We learned over there in Hilchos Shemitah that in order for Shemitah to be noig, not only do you need to have everyone in Eretz Yisrael, but you may need to have everyone should be makiris mekaymai. Each of the shvatim and each of the, even maybe smaller than shvatim, have to know where their place is in Eretz Yisrael. That's a din for Shemitah. For Challah, it's enough just to have most of the yidden in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to be makiris mekaymai. So the question is like this: If you look at the statistics, okay, where for the first time in probably thousands of years, we're holding by the point that it's almost roiv yidden living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, according to the statistics, the way they read it now, the statistics that people give is Be'erach, the places that I looked at, 40% of the Yidden live in Eretz Yisrael. But those statistics themselves are a little questionable.
From England?
No, Jews. Jews. Most Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, and those statistics are a little questionable because they count Jews very broadly. They have a very broad interpretation of what it means to be someone called themselves Jewish. And that is to say, in Eretz Yisrael, most of the people who call themselves Jewish are Jewish. In Chutzlars, there are lots of people who call themselves, who would be, according to these statistics, would be considered Jewish, who then would not be considered Jewish. So 40% may be more, way more than 40%, may even already be past right. But even according to their statistics, soon enough it's going to be right. You can keep moving to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. So soon enough it's going to be right, even according to that. It may already be right. Okay? It may already be right because, again, you don't, not everybody who's counted Jewish in, by these, you know, numbers. So the shaila is, when that happens, or if that already happened, well, we don't know how to count that, but if and when that happens, does it then going to change? Bimi Ezra, it was a drabanan. Is it going to be that now in Eretz Yisrael, at some point, one day, the way they like to say this, one day, you know, the plane's going to land and a new Oleh is going to step in, and all of a sudden, will it then come to Raisa? You know, the guy who tips the scale, and who doesn't want to know who he is, you know, some, you know,
Gittin, that somebody has twins of this one.
That's right. So, okay, so some Gittin is going to step off the plane from wherever, and all of a sudden, is the mitzvah going to come to Raisa?
If the Raisa's third, does that mean that there's
no minimum shear anymore? No. Midoraisa, the din is you can give even the tiniest amount.
And make a bracha.
Oh, you mean a share of how much batter you have to have? Yeah. No, that's a dindoraisa. There has to be a certain size to the batter. You have to have a certain size to the batter. So Rav Chaim Kineski means that there are taka people who hold like that. The taka, when it comes to the point that there will be roiv yidden in Eretz Yisrael, the din won't be true. It says over here, it's only when there's not roiv, when the day will come that there will be roiv yidden in Eretz Yisrael, that'll be, it'll become a din deraisa. Okay, what are they saying? I need to put a little words into what I just said, which is like this. The way the Gemara would say this is, when the yidden first came to Eretz Yisrael, when Yehoshua was in the Kadesh, the land, that Kedusha was Kedusha, Rishon Kitzel Shaita, Vlad Kitzel Asalavit. That Kedusha is temporary, so to speak. And once Yidden left, the Kedusha was off. Kedusha of Ezra, the Kedusha Shnia, was Kitzel Shaita, Ula Asalavit. It's for good. And therefore, the Eretzol has Kedusha to it. So therefore, when we get to the Tanai of B.S. Kulchem, when everyone's there, then everyone's there.
Why is Chuma? Chuma's not the
Raisa. That's what Gemara says, right?
So why is Chuma not the Raisa?
So it's a good question. It's actually Gemara. The Gemara says, very interesting. The Gemara says, even if you hold that Chuma is not a Zeh, is Daraisa, am I getting this right? The Gemara says, even if, I don't know how the Gemara says, even if Chalav is not a Zeh, is Daraisa, Chuma is not a Zeh, is Darabonon. And then the Gemara says, no, you got it backwards. It's the other way around. Even if Chuma is not a Zeh, is Daraisa, Chalav is a Darabonon. Okay, the maskot of the Gemara is that Chalav is a Darabonon because most Yidden don't live in Eretz Yisrael. But Chuma Kenzai is a Daraisa. It's a Shaila. They're not dependent on each other. Okay, it's two different Tanayim to make them Daraisa Darabonon.
Does handling the Chalav change when it becomes Daraisa?
Will the Din become more difficult or more serious?
Or more awkward instead of letting it, burning it, or...
I don't know. I don't know.
The still going to give it to Rabbi Yitzchak.
Rabbi Yitzchak. I don't know.
Give it back or whatever.
I don't know. It'll be more serious as how we treat it. But will we actually do something practical? I don't know. Okay. So, but the he brings also that there are two persons who thought not like this. He said, come out the same thing. said Kamat Simin. And the first one who said it was a person saying it not when they were eating, you know, eating limb there, Chaim, salvation, who says like this. He says, there's two tanoim for challah to be mechuyim and challah medraisa in Eretz Yisrael. The first is, you need to have kedushas aretz. So, like, for example, I just told you that kedusha rishonim was kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel l'asad l'avod. So once the yidden were thrown out at the first churban, you were missing the first tonight. It wasn't kedushas aretz anymore. So you couldn't be chayim and challah medraisa. There's a second tonight, which is most of the yidden have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's the second tonight. So the way everyone is approaching until I said the shita is, the kedusha is here. Kedusha shni is kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'aslava. It's a permanent kedusha. It stays forever. And now we just need the second time, which is most people to be there. Reb Chaim says no. He says when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, he was not able to make the proper kedusha to Eretz Yisrael because part of making the kedusha is you have to have most of the people there. In other words, it's not that the two tzorim are completely independent of each other. It's not just that you have to have kedushas aretz and you have to have most people. Having most people is from a different pasuk. I'm not telling you, it's a different pasuk. That the kedusha for challah needs most people to be there when you make the kedusha also. So when Ezra was makadosh to Eretz Yisrael in many ways, the kedusha for challah he wasn't able to do.
He was for challah.
He had all the things he could. But for challah, he was not able to make the proper kedusha because l'maisa he didn't have Roiv Yisrael. And therefore, the fact that we get Roiv Yisrael later on won't help. It would help theoretically. If we had the right people, we had a melech, v'navi, whatever we need to do to be makadosh, we could be makadosh ourselves. But the kedusha from Ezra didn't take hold. Ezra made kedusha for other things. But when in challah, Ezra was not able to be makadosh. And therefore, the fact that we get most people won't help us. We'll have the second tonight, but we'll be missing the Kedusha Le'inyan Chal. Okay, that's how he says it. He says it's Meduyik. I mean, in a million years, I would have never thought this. But in Meduyik, in the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Shemitah of Yevil, toward the end, another continuation of our scene, who says, V'chein lasad lovoy, v'bia shlishis, the Eishi Kansu La'aretz, when he didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael by the third base of Mekdash, Yaschilu Limlois, Shmita V'Yovlos, they'll start counting against Shmita and Yovlos, because then you'll have met the turn that you have to do. V'yikadshu Bati Erechayma, and they'll be Makadosh Bati Erechayma. He says, why are they going to be Makadosh Bati Erechayma? He should have said, like, V'yiskadshu Bati Erechayma, the Bati Erechayma will now have their Kedush to them. If you just need everyone to be there, so as soon as the conditions happen, the Bati Erechayma will have their Kedush to them. Why does it say they'll make a Kedush? They'll be makadosh to Bati Erechayma. Why do they do that? They already did that. Ezra did that already. So to which he says it's because certain kedushas were not able to take effect because l'maisa they didn't have the right to learn to make those kedushas take effect, and therefore they couldn't do it. The Chazanish says something very similar. The Chazanish was of course living in a time when it was much more l'maisa that you could already see it in, coming in the horizon that made it be right. The Chazanish says basically this. He's not sure 100% if it's true, and he considers that Kenzayin, Ezra's Kedusha was set into motion was that when most Yidden are there, that'll be good enough. So he leaves it off as a son.